1480 KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
It's going to take a little extra coffee today.
Yep, we are on the water, in the air, and off the clock, it seems.
Yeah, yeah, but I did end up with biscuits for everyone.
Yay!
Here, Randy.
Woo! Here we go.
We have biscuits.
I get to eat once a week. It don't matter when.
What else? We hit every red light this morning. Got the golf clubs on the golf cart outside at the country club last night.
Out by the lake, I almost hit a goose.
Oh,
that'll be the third time in my life I've hit a Canadian goose. They don't do any good to vehicles.
No. Speaking of, let's get things rolling this morning. How about that?
Let's do her.
You know, it's time of the year where I probably should have been thinking about a little bit before this. But John will give John Luttrell from Luttrell Kennels in Clark, South Dakota, will give us all a little bit of a rundown. And actually, give us maybe some motivation on maybe we should have started by now, or for those that have not started training our upland and waterfowl dogs to get things rolling. John, are you with us this morning?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Hey, I heard there was a whole bunch of tents set up in Henry, South Dakota here in the last week or two. You have something to do with that?
Yeah, well, actually, that was not our retriever club running that test. That was the retriever club from Sioux Falls running that test there. That was about 3 weeks ago. Last weekend is when our club ran our test up near Webster.
Up in Webster? When you talk your retriever club, is that Clark County?
It's the Jim River Retriever Club. It's people from all over northeast South Dakota, from Aberdeen to Clark to Watertown to Pittstone, Britton, Roslyn, Webster, just composed a big area just because we don't have that many people in our area. So just a bunch of retriever people getting together and training dogs all summer.
Talk about dogs? Wouldn't that be an entertaining situation to sit around and talk about dogs?
Yeah.
What color dogs?
I got
are
a
they,
poodle.
Do black lives matter?
Black lives matter. That's exactly right.
John, you know, really what our subject and our topic is not going to be all lives matter and all those lives mattering in those big cities, but we're going to talk about, I just have seen great things from some really, really talented dogs come out of the kennels there over in Clark, South Dakota that you have been a part of. And just thought it'd be a real good time to start motivating people to get these upland dogs. And, like we were looking in the schedule, dove hunting season's only a couple weeks away. Waterfowling is the end of September, so that's coming right up. And then the resident pheasant opener is first weekend in October. So what do you have for ideas?
I guess if you haven't done anything with that young dog, the most important thing is to get his gun broke before the season starts, so it knows that a gun is not only a noise they shouldn't be afraid of, but it's actually the best noise on the planet, because generally when they hear that gunshot, it means there should be a bird coming down out of the sky they get to go get it. So we want to get that done, get that association done early so that they understand when they get to the blind what's going on, and it's not just a disaster for everybody. And gun shyness is 100% man-made, so the proper introduction to the gun is super important.
The breeder that I got my little British lab from, He echoed those same sentiments on the gun shy, and that guy was really good. He would come into that when it was feeding time. He would come in there rattling dishes and making a ton of noise from the time these pups were just born to all the way till they left. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, I want to do everything I can to start these dogs out right. It's no guarantee because, again, the owner and where they get their training is going to make a difference on the gun shyness.
Right. And, I mean, if you look at it from a puppy's perspective, it's the first time he hears a gunshot is out of a goose pit. He's been running around inside that pit, driving everybody crazy, getting beat up to make him sit. And then the first thing he hears is, you know, 9 shots out of 3.5 inch, and he doesn't see what's going on. He never saw the goose. It just isn't a good experience for him to begin with. So we start out slow with a blank gun, and every time they hear a gunshot when we're doing that gun introduction, they get a bird. Whether it's a frozen pigeon or a live pigeon or a duck, it doesn't make any difference. But every time they hear a shot, because we want to get that association done.
You know, when they're starting out this training with a young dog, how many week program is that? And by November, December, can we have a very well trained dog if those are out there that have not started yet?
I generally do a 4 week program, which is kind of it includes the bird and gun introduction. We get flushing and shooting birds. We're retrieving ducks out of the water. Get some basic obedience going. By no means a finished dog, but definitely a dog that's going to be productive this fall. And I want people to take their dog hunting, that valuable experience that they gain. Those birds are going to earn interest over the next few years. So we definitely want those young dogs in the field this fall. But you just have to temper your expectations. Remember, you're hunting a 6 to 10 month old puppy. You're not hunting a 4-year-old hunting retriever champion.
So we got to train the owner.
Yeah,
that's a lot of times.
And people have heard me say it 100 times. It's much easier for me to train dogs than it is to train humans.
Yeah, I see a few of those that are watching right now. You guys got to look at yourself, and I know Neil and I are too. So I like that. A lot easier to train the dog than it is the human sapien. Oh, boy. Hey, shout out to Randy Angermeyer, Woody Tigelar.
Hey, morning, Woody.
Good morning, Woody. Glenn Hansen, are you in the bathroom, Glenn? He gives me a hard time once a week at the golf course about where he's at when he's meeting us live on the radio. So we got a shout out to him. All right.
I see the problem with you, Lynn, is you're at the golf course all the time instead of out training your dog.
Yeah, ask the guys that we played last night how much they think I'm at the golf course. What did I shoot, a 105?
I don't know, but he's at the golf course a lot, and then he enters a tournament and he wins the dang fishing tournament. He's in the top 10. That annoys me.
No, that's because Neil said if you're fishing over 100, you're still a fisherman. Or if you're golfing over 100 strokes on 18, you're still a fisherman.
You break 100, you are not a fisherman.
So I want to brag about that 105 that I had last night.
That's all right. You're getting
but
close.
I had a couple good holes, so I'm going back.
You're getting close. You're close to 100.
So, John, you have a real good 4-week program. Let's see that, but that's just a partial. That you're just getting into the obedience stuff. You're getting them used to hearing that gun. I've been there. I've witnessed that. It's excellent. Really, I think for those of us that do a lot of the hunting in the Novembers, Decembers, is there still time to get a well-trained, how many weeks is it for a real, real good, to get a real good handle on the training?
What we go through and we teach delivery to hand, where the dog comes in, sits down next to you, hands you the bird when you ask for it, no hard mouth, good control in the field, steady in the duck blind. Unfortunately, that stuff doesn't happen overnight. And we take 12 weeks to get that done. So you're pushing it to get that one done before that. And like I said before, let's get as much as we can done before the season, get that puppy in the field this fall, and then we can finish the rest of that training next year. And let's start in April instead of waiting until August next year.
John, how about them older dogs that are sitting out there that have been sitting on the couch with their owners all summer long and getting fat and happy?
They probably need to go for some long walks.
Together.
And it sounds like the owners should use that walk, too. So,
that's right. They both should jog a couple miles.
Yep. And one thing that really bothers me is that I see people dump their dog off. They drive out in the country, dump their dog off in the ditch, and then they stay in the car and drive down the gravel road. Unfortunately, I have several people who I know who have run their own dogs over doing that. So please don't do that. Just get out, walk your dog down one side of the ditch, walk them back down the other side, walk around the section. That'd be good for both of you.
It sure wouldn't hurt for that opening grouse hunt when you're out in Eagle Butte walking over the hills. You both don't end up dead.
Exactly.
Well, that's the other thing. Some of these early hunts are coming up. These charity hunts are usually a little bit before the season starts, maybe a week or two. The cat, you know, we made fun of the Polish, the Hollanders, the Norwegians, the Germans. We made fun of everyone, but if you want to make fun of the Catholics, you can ante up some money because they got the Bishop's Hunt down there in southern South Dakota by Kimball, and then the Nun Hunt is over north of Clark. So get your money out of your pocket.
There you go.
You might get a shot, and you might be able to make fun of a Catholic for a day.
Well, everybody does. That's fun, though. I come from Hove, and that's just good, clean fun.
Because I asked the other night, I asked a bunch of my good Catholic friends, I go, how do you really become a Catholic? We'll take your money. You don't need to be a Catholic.
That's exactly right.
So, John, I imagine you're involved in some of those charity hunts, and you're also probably involved in really picking out. That's what always probably is probably one of the most talented things that a guy in John's position has done, Neil, is that it's picking out that bloodline. It's picking out the right dog that's actually going to be trainable and going to be producing in the field for you.
There you go.
We do. I like to say that 50% of it is genetics, and the other 50% is training. So you've got responsibility on both ends, not only picking that puppy out, but once he's home, you know, if you have a puppy out of two national field champions and you let him sit in the kennel, you're not gonna produce.
Yeah, it's always fun when we see the guy coming and the brand new chaps on and. And he's bringing that dog from North Carolina, and by George, that thing's got a national field trial pedigree beyond the mile long. And all of a sudden, well, let's get on that first walk, and then a quarter of a mile down the road, here it is chasing out the pheasants at the other end.
When I guided up around Pollock, we had a guy come from down in Georgia, and he let his dog out of the kennel, and that dog was on a beeline to the other end of the field for the first two fields we walked. At the end of the night, he was sitting in the bar, and he said, "So what'd you think of this dog? It has national champions and all this around it." Ricky said, "Well, I've never seen a dog get to the end of the field that fast. I don't know if that's a good thing."
You have any stories like
yeah,
that, John?
I want that bloodline, though.
Yeah.
But obviously, that guy didn't do any training with it. I mean, what that shows me, that dog has desire for birds if he'll run a half mile to go get some.
Oh, yeah? Well, he had all kinds of desire.
Yeah, he just hadn't learned that this is a team sport and that he's got to play with us.
Yeah. Well, and I remember John saying that, too. He goes, John, is this true? You'll take a dog that has energy, bring him down, versus a dog that doesn't have the desire and energy to bring him up. That's almost an impossible.
Oh. Yeah, it's way easier for me to install brakes.
Mm-hmm.
I can teach him to stay close. I can teach him to cooperate with us. I know people come here and they tell me, oh, my puppy chased a bird over the hill. He's gone. I'm like, good. We're good to go then. He's got the desire. We can, but the dog that won't pick up a bird or walks away from a crippling kitten on the ground, there's not a lot I can do about that. and there's where that genetics comes in.
Well, in the last couple minutes here, John, let's give an idea. You know, this time of the year, everyone thought, uh-oh, you know, I don't have a dog for this fall. They lost their dog. They didn't plan ahead. Their current dog got sick. Isn't gonna be able to hunt. Got to the age where maybe the summer was tough on it. Anything available that you know of at out there in Clark for this person looking for a dog?
Yeah, we have nothing. We've sold all of our started and finished dogs are long gone. again, it's that procrastination people, the people that thought ahead in May and June are the ones that got those dogs, and they're long gone. And now also that supply and demand thing is kicking in. So the dogs that are out there that are nice, the price has gone up considerably. Yeah, it's one of those plan ahead things. It's much better to, I guess if you don't have a dog right now, I guess my advice would be to be patient, get the right puppy, get it started so that you're ready for next year.
And the Humane Society is looking for anybody to take rescue dogs.
Exactly.
You might have to lower your expectations for this year.
Might be hunting with a cockapoo, but you'll be all right.
So, John, anyway, not much, I'm sure, and if there is something available out there, it starts reaching up into that 7,000, 8,000, 10,000, 15,000 range pretty quick. So, anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're paying that kind of money for, you know, if you're into the 8-10 grand, your dog is, you know, doing long blinds, it's steady, it's doing a lot of good stuff. Those dogs are far and few between right now.
So my $100 dog's gonna have to do for this year.
It's gonna have to do for this year. Yep, and plan ahead. That's the whole deal. We can't train these little buggers overnight. So think about it long term. Buy a nice, well pedigreed puppy. Do the right thing. Let's get the right start, and then we'll have a great hunting companion for next year and the following 10, 12 years after that.
All right, John Luttrell, Luttrell Kennels. If anyone is out there wants to get a start this year or for next year, now's the time to start planning. Now's the time that John can be talking with all of his other connections in that world and find you something. John, we appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Great. Have a great morning, guys.
You bet. Thanks, John. Take care. Well, hunting season's on the way.
It's around the corner now.
Yeah, it is. So we'll have more of these shows involving the world of hunting and maybe a little bit of fishing. But
Fishing's never over.
All right, Randy. Another week of On the Water in the Air, over to you.